So let's turn back in our scriptures to Zechariah chapter 3. Last week we looked at the glorious picture of Zechariah having Joshua come before him. And the Lord dealing with Satan on behalf of his people. And Joshua, verse 3, is clothed in filthy rags and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away his filthy garments from him. And he said, and unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. Where did he go? He went to the Lord Jesus Christ from before the foundation of the world. That's where it's gone. It's passed from thee. And I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And it speaks of this high priest. They put a crown upon his head and clothed him in garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. But now I want us to look at what it is now for this Joshua, the high priest. Thou and thy fellows that sit before thee. Thou and thy companions that sit before you. Our great Joshua has many companions. Joshua, of course, is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God's is salvation, God's Saviour revealed. And all of those that are there together with Joshua the high priest, for they are men wondered at. They are men wondered at. The world will never understand the children of God. They will never understand the children of God. Men can understand religion. They can understand all the schemes of religion. They can understand why men do all of the things they do in religion. They can understand why men cause other people to start their work and their walk before God with an activity that they do, and then they can build on that activity, and they can build on those activities with other people who have done more activities, and you send people off to Bible college and you send people off to mission environments. You can understand how religion works, isn't it? This is what men are doing to get right with God. Supposedly so. And the great, great problem with man-made religion is the absence of the presence of God Almighty. That's exactly what was happening in Jerusalem, wasn't it, in the days before the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in the Babylonian captivity. These men had all that religion and God was not there. If you read Ezekiel, God took his presence away from them and left them to themselves, and then he destroyed that place. Men wondered at. Wherever the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is raised up, and wherever the gospel does a work in the hearts of God's people, they are men wondered at. The world will never understand us. He says in 1 John chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. Oh, don't you love that word? He bestows his love on us. That we should be called the sons of God. Behold what manner of love. That we should be called the sons of God. Joshua and his fellows. The sons of God. And then listen to what he goes on to say. Therefore, because of that work of God, that love that he's bestowed, that calling of us being his sons, he says, therefore the world knoweth us not. Therefore, the world won't understand. The world won't know. The world will understand religion well enough, but they won't understand the children of God because it knew him not. To go back to Zechariah chapter 3, the men wondered at. Men will never understand. Men will never understand, men in religion will never understand how God could raise up a church. I'm going to Kingsport in a few weeks' time. And that little church is now growing in Kingsport. But if you look at the birth of the church in Kingsport and the birth of our church here and the birth of the church in San Diego and the birth of the churches that we are in fellowship with wherever they gather throughout this world, all of them had almost exactly the same story. You sit and chat to those fellows about the things that happened there in Kingsport, or the things that happened in San Diego, or the things that happened in New Jersey or other places. And it's just remarkable how the Lord is doing exactly what he promised to do in raising up his people. The men wondered at. For behold. This is what the men of the world never see, and it's what we see, it's what we behold. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. Behold, fix your eyes upon him, gaze upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at who he is, and look at what he's done, and look at where he is now. From eternity to eternity, see him, behold him, look in wonder and look in awe. I'll bring forth my servant, the branch. I just wanted to look at several verses that relate to the branch. And the servant, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the servant of God. He is the elect one. Now, Isaiah chapter 42 speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ being this one. He says, you behold, you look at him. He says, behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment unto the Gentiles. I'd love to have us look at these things in light of the verses in John chapter 12 that we're looking at regarding this grain of wheat that falls into the ground and this judgment that comes upon this people. But he's a servant, isn't he? He does all that the Father sent him to do. His first recorded words from his lips were, I must be about my Father's business. And at the end of his life says, I've finished the work. I've finished the work that you gave me to do. And on the cross he cried out, it is finished. It is finished. Oh, what it is for us to be servants of the servant. To thus, to serve, to be able to minister his glory to this world out of love and gratitude. The Lord passes by this world and he comes to his own. Do not pass me by, oh gracious Saviour, when you're working in others' lives, when you're working, when you're building. Let me be and make me a willing bondservant. The Lord Jesus Christ served his Father perfectly, didn't he? This is my servant. He honoured the Father in everything that he did. He honoured his name. He honoured his law. He magnified the law of God and made it honourable. Someone had to keep the law of God. Otherwise, the law of God is a nonsense that God would give a law that could never be obeyed. No one's perfect, people say all the time. Well, hold on a second. You're a little bit too hasty. There is one who is perfect, and he perfectly kept the law of God with love, and he kept it spiritually, and he kept it physically, and he kept it on behalf of all of his people. He served perfectly. He served his people perfectly. He served his people as a sacrifice. And God says, my name is in him. My name is in him. My name is on him, and he bore my name to my glory. And he, like the people in the days of Zechariah, he's bringing his people out of the wilderness into the promised land. This is the work of his servant, isn't it? To bring his people. When he's lifted up, he'll draw his people to himself and he'll draw his people to heaven. And that's the great work of Joshua, isn't it? That Joshua was the one that spiritually took the people of Israel into the promised land. Moses never took anyone into the promised land. It's Joshua that crossed that flooded Jordan River with the Ark of the Covenant stopping the flood. And he took the people into the promised land. My servant, behold my servant, the branch. The branch. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 23 and we'll see something else about the branch. And one of the things that's good for us to see as we go through these various pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ is to remember that in spiritual pictures that the Lord is drawing, he continues to add and add and add, and the picture becomes more and more full and more complete. And so not that any one picture is incomplete in itself, but all of them together just give this glorious picture, this glorious portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5, he says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch." A righteous branch. The branch? The Lord Jesus Christ is the servant of God. The branch is righteous. And righteous simply means to be perfectly obedient. He's the perfectly obedient one. And listen to what he goes on to say of this one who is the righteous branch. "And the king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." A righteous branch. What are the righteousnesses of men? Just filthy rags. There is just one righteousness in this world, isn't there? There is just one righteous one in this world. What are men doing by nature in this world? And especially religious men. Romans 10 is a remarkably descriptive picture, isn't it? Paul prays and his heart's desire is that Israel, they might be saved. And he says, "I bear them record that they have the zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness." That's a description of every religious person in this world. They are ignorant of God's righteousness. And what do? The ones that are ignorant are going about. They never stop going about. You speak to someone who has some religious righteousness, and the first thing they want to tell you is what they're doing. And then tell you how good you are for doing the things you're doing, so that you can pat them on the back in return. It's a continual going about to establish their own righteousness. And what's the problem about those who go about and establish their own righteousness? They don't bow. They simply do not bow. They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. All this time. Back to Jeremiah chapter 23. In his days, in John chapter 12, we're looking at this hour, this particular day, in that day, in his days, Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called. He's the righteous branch. And he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. Later on we'll go and see in Jeremiah chapter 33, that's the name of his bride, the Lord our righteousness. Let's go on reading in Jeremiah 23. "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, The Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought us up, which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all the countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land." The righteous branch. Who is the Lord our righteousness, who is a servant, is in the business of gathering his people That's what he's come to do, isn't he? Gather the scattered ones, and in doing so, to bring glory to his name. Let's turn back in our Bibles, just to book into Isaiah. Let's look at a couple of verses in Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 4, the branch is spoken of again. The branch is a servant. The branch is righteous, perfectly obedient. The branch is involved in gathering the scattered people of God to himself. In Isaiah chapter 4, verse 2, we speak of the branch again. It says in verse 1, it says, in that day seven women shall take hold of one man. Seven is the number of completeness. The woman is a picture of the bride of Christ, isn't it? The church of God. So take hold of one man. Which man do they take hold of? There's only one man they take hold of. Saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name. What a glorious, glorious cry from the church of God. Let me be called by your name. The Lord our righteousness, let me be called by your name. To take away our reproach. This is just all speaking of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious. And the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely, beautiful, for them that are escaped of Israel. We need to have his name on us for our reproach to be taken away. And the branch here is beautiful and glorious. We worship the Lord in the beauties of holiness. If you've seen him, if you've beheld him, you've beheld his glory. The glory of the one and only begotten of the Father. And how do you behold his glory? You behold his glory through new eyes. You hear of his glory through new ears. It's a new creation that sees the beauty of his glory. Men wonder at us. Men wonder at the true children of God because we behold him as beautiful and glorious. And we find that which demeans his beauty and his glory offensive to us. While you're in Isaiah, turn over to Isaiah chapter 11. And we'll see another picture of this branch in 11 verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Jesse's the father of David. And of course, there's nothing written very much about Jesse in the scriptures other than in relation to David. And it's a picture of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ draws his people out of that which is insignificant in the eyes of the world. And Bethlehem was insignificant and Jesse was insignificant. The one thing that matters is who is present with them and who puts his name upon them. Shall grow out of his roots. Out of his roots. The picture, of course, is a tree that's cut down. A new life has sprung out of what appears to be dead. The seed is going to be sown into the ground, it says in John chapter 12, and out of that will spring forth much fruit. But new life springs out of death. And listen to what he goes on to say about the branch. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. You might remember at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and it abided on him. He was full of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit, and this is what the Holy Spirit is, isn't he? He's the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Without the Holy Spirit, you are none of him, none of his. And the Holy Spirit's work is to take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and to reveal them to us out of the Old Testament, out of the New, out of the Scriptures. I love the promise that the Lord Jesus Christ made to sinners in Luke chapter 11. You can turn there or I'll read it to you, but it's a remarkable promise. He says in Luke chapter 11, and he's speaking to the apostles. He says, if you then, being evil. Is that a description of you? It was the Lord's description of the apostles. Know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? What's the answer to that, brothers and sisters? Ask. Ask. Don't you love what the Lord said to the woman at the well? He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's speaking to you, what would you do? You'd ask. How long will you keep? How long will you ask? You'll never stop asking. You just keep asking. If you knew the gift of God, you ask. A spirit of wisdom and understanding. The world by its wisdom knew not God. The world doesn't understand the things of God, doesn't understand the people of God. That's why they're meant to be wondered at. The spirit of the Lord rests upon him, and it's a spirit of counsel and might, spirit of power, and it's a spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. A fear of the Lord. It's the gift of God to cause his people to be in reverential awe of who he is and not to play games with him and not to play games with his word. How we need the blessed Holy Spirit to come upon us and be a spirit of wisdom and understanding and counsel and might. How much we need the Holy Spirit to show us the branch who is righteous. Isaiah 11 verse 3 goes on to speak of this one who judges not. He judges, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Aren't you so thankful that our God clothes us like he clothes Joshua in the very righteousness of God and takes away his filthy garments? And he doesn't judge us on account of what we are, but he judges us on account of who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's taken away the iniquity of the land in one day. He's taken it away. He clothes his people with his righteousness. He clothes his people with his faithfulness. And then he says to his people, well done, now good and faithful servant. We have a glorious gospel. And someone told us some years ago, it's too good to be true. Your gospel's too good to be true. Well, our gospel's good. And our gospel is true. Let's see in closing, go to a couple of verses at the end of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 21 speaks of this branch. The branch is a servant. The branch is righteous. The branch is glorious. And the branch is beautiful. The Spirit of the Lord illuminates the branch and rests upon the branch. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 21. Thy people shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. This is the work of the servant, isn't it? This is what the servant does. My people shall be all righteous, righteous in his righteousness. And they are the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. This speaks of union with the Lord Jesus Christ, the union of his bride with him. The union of his people. Listen what he goes on Isaiah chapter 61. The Lord Jesus Christ uses these words to declare who he is and declare what his purpose is. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. How do these people know that they are the planting of the Lord? How do these people know that they are all righteous? Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings. This is the good tidings, isn't it? Our union with Him. That our great Joshua is the branch. To preach good tidings to the meek, He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee, when everything that you had lost through your own sin and rebellion against God is completely restored to you. There's a Jubilee trumpet to be sounded. And that's the sound of the gospel, is the Jubilee trumpet. The day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. The planting of the Lord. We bear His name in those days, and at that time, Jeremiah 33:15, will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is a name wherewith she... Do you remember earlier in Jeremiah 23, it's the name that he is called. This is a name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. This is the work of our God. This is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall build the temple of the Lord. Listen to, we'll close in Zechariah chapter 6. These people have come back out of captivity, if you read the rest of that chapter, saying, and speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, the man whose name is the branch. He shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. What is the temple of the Lord? It's the Lord Jesus Christ in the very presence of his people. We worship God in him. We are the temple of God, the children of God. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. He is a king and a priest upon his throne. The servant, the branch, is a servant of God. He's a righteous servant. He's beautiful and glorious. He creates new life from what appears to be dead. The Spirit of the Lord's upon him and upon his people. He is a judge. He builds and he plants. And men wonder. And his people inside his temple see his beauty and his glory, and they rejoice. They rejoice to have his name upon them. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's have a break. Thank you.